Some time ago, one of the richest men in the world walked into a room and opened up a trunk which had contained $8 million in banknotes. Inside, he found only dust and a rat hole. Believe it or not, the rats had actually chewed their way into the trunk and carried away the entire $8 million. No trace was ever found of the rats or the money. I'll return in a moment with the amazing facts. Hello, this is Joe Cruz with the Amazing Facts broadcast, facts which affect you. Recently, one of the popular weekly news magazines presented the story of how young Americans have become millionaires almost overnight. One of the most astonishing things about our affluent age is this massive piling up of wealth by these newcomers on the American scene. It's a real phenomenon to see how riches can be acquired under this modern economic scheme of things. With taxes escalating and labor pressing for higher and higher wages, continue to amass fortune so quickly. Listen, it's not so amazing to those who made a close study of the Bible. The explanation is found in James 5, 1-3. Go to now, ye rich men, weep and howl for your miseries that shall come upon you. Your riches are corrupted, and your garments are moth-eaten. Your gold and silver is cankered, and the rest of them shall be a witness against you, and shall eat your flesh as it were fire. Ye have heaped treasure together for the last days. Now notice, something is going to take place just before the end of the world. Men are going to pile up money and accumulate great wealth. I can just hear somebody saying, so what? This is only a mark of our great material and scientific advance. It simply proves that our enlightened age is growing more secure and progressive. But wait a minute, friends. Just how secure is the world today? Oh, true. The external appearances are tremendously impressive. I'm sure the walls of ancient Babylon seem no more strong and permanent than the towering concrete and steel of a modern skyscraper. Certainly no former generation could ever boast of so much hoarded wealth as we have now accumulated. What does it mean today that men possess so much money that they can't even estimate their own worth? Some time ago I lived in South India, not too far from the Nizam of Hyderabad, reputedly the richest man in all the world. One morning the Madras Mail newspaper reported a strange incident concerning this multi-millionaire. While inspecting the chest of money in one of his palace treasure rooms, he discovered $8 million cash missing from one of the trunks. Investigation revealed that rats had gnawed their way into that trunk and simply carried away the banknotes right down the rat hole. Not a cent of that money was ever recovered, but there was little worry on the part of this man of unlimited riches. You see, friends, the love of money has created a very strange, paradoxical problem pointing to the very soon coming of our Lord. Sometimes, in fact, the situation seems tragically confused and contradictory. But this piling up of wealth is only one of many startling predictions which find their fulfillment in our present troubled age. The unparalleled pace of scientific knowledge has revolutionized the world every few years. New breakthroughs in rocketry and space travel have followed each other with amazing regularity. We can scarcely talk about one record accomplishment without being interrupted by a new report of achievement that shattered the first record into obsolescence. The scientific byproducts of all the frenzied research has led to the development of sensational new wonder drugs, gadgets, and miracle processes. In one city of America, a tree was cut down on a tree corner at 7:55 in the morning. The wood was hurried off to a sawmill and then a pulp plant. Then it was processed at the paper plant and rushed to the newspaper office. And by 10 o'clock, that tree had turned into newsprint and was being sold on the street as the daily paper. What an illustration this is of Daniel's prophecy in Daniel 12:4 that in the time of the end many shall run to and fro and knowledge be increased. Jesus, of course, spoke of many signs that would mark the final moments of history, but none seem to be more clearly fulfilling before our eyes than Luke 21:25-27. Jesus said, "And there shall be signs in the sun, and in the moon, and in the stars, and upon the earth distress of nations with perplexity, the sea and the waves roaring, men's hearts failing them for fear, and for looking after those things which are coming on the earth, for the powers of heaven shall be shaken. And then shall they see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory." Now, friends, I don't believe we could understand some of the modern statistics of our age if we didn't know about this verse and the Bible. The alarming increase of suicides, for example, could not be understood except in the light of what Jesus said. It's an established fact that at least 20,000 people take their own lives each year, and four times that many attempt suicide without succeeding. Time magazine estimated that at least 40,000 annual suicides would be close to the real facts. Another authority has said that from ages 15 to 30, suicide is the largest single cause of death. Now, symptoms of emotional sickness are reflected in many other areas of our modern society. You've noticed it just like I have. People seem to be torn up inside. They're led to do foolish things and violent things sometimes under the influence of their mixed up emotions. No wonder the psychiatrist's offices are filled with patients seeking to understand themselves. Consider the wild jungle beat of current music fads and the bizarre paintings that are labeled modern art. Don't we see here, friends, a perfect example of music and art gone crazy? The ones who produce some of this incomprehensible jargon of sound and color profess to be expressing the way they feel inside. If this is true, we can well understand the deep nature of the emotional conflicts that are sweeping multitudes today. By encouraging an unreasonable confidence in feeling, Satan has managed to make the emotions acceptable as a test of right and wrong. Even theologians and religious leaders are being influenced by these subtle new arguments. At least some of them are. Many are approving and defending sexual immorality on the ground that it's a meaningful relationship. And instead of those unchanging laws, such as we have in the Ten Commandments, these religious liberals are substituting misguided emotion. The colossal mistaken assumption is that young people might be more responsive to religion if religion didn't condemn their conduct. So more and more, religion is choosing not to define sin for fear of offending its young people. But God's law still continues to call sin by its only right name. And by the way, friends, the source of so much confusion in this modern permissive age is that there has sprung up an attitude towards sin that is incredible. Some folks seem to feel that evil is inevitable, that human nature, being what it is, must surely give way to wrongdoing. You know, we need to understand what God's attitude towards sin really is. Is He particular? Does the Bible mean what it says? This new obsession for freedom is just sweeping the world too far. It's been perverted. But how far does our freedom really permit us to go? Are we free to break God's law, for example? If you haven't received it yet, you've got to get one of our beautiful information folders on this subject. It'll give you an unforgettable look into this vital matter. In fact, it'll be a real revelation for you to read and understand what God's attitude is toward the Ten Commandments in comparison to what many people today are feeling toward that great law. So write for folder F, entitled You're Responsible, and we'll be glad to send it, and it will cover this subject and answer these questions for you. Now, this swing away from an absolute standard toward a relative one has led to the present religious skepticism that we find in the world. Paul described the conditions in these words of 2 Timothy 3, 1-5. This know also, that in the last days perilous time shall come, for men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. From such turn away. Now you put with that text the solemn question of Jesus concerning His coming in Luke 18:8. He said, "Will there be faith in the earth when the Son of Man cometh?" And you have a real, real question. So the great majority of modern seminaries today no longer accept the plainest cardinal doctrines of the Scripture, friends. Now, I say this advisedly. In truth, they don't even accept the Bible itself as an inspired revelation of God's will. And I believe this is the majority of the modern seminaries of today. In the last few years, I've been invited to speak four times at two of the largest Protestant seminaries in the United States. And in one dialogue with two professors of biblical theology, the historicity of the Scriptures were absolutely and publicly denied. Such doctrines as the second advent of Jesus were ridiculed. Now, I mention this only to underline the amazing fulfillment of these prophecies regarding religious unbelief. In one other area, I would like to examine with you the effect of Satan's perversion of the emotions. Most of the sin today, no doubt, goes right back to this thing that the devil's been able to do with people's feelings in getting them to rely on their feelings rather than on the plain, revealed truth of the Bible. Jesus predicted the deterioration of home life and family life. He said in Luke 17:26, "As it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be also in the days of the Son of Man. They did eat, they drank, they married wives, they were given in marriage until the day that Noah entered the ark and the flood came and destroyed them all." And then he goes on to say that this is exactly the way it'll be at the end of time. Now, the dramatic fulfillment of this prophecy has been revealed by one researcher when he said that Americans are so insecure that they change cars every 2 1/4 years, they change friends every 4 years by moving from one place to another, and they change wives every 7 years. Now, it's this business of changing wives and husbands so often that constitutes one of the major signs of the approaching end. Do you realize, friends, that about one marriage out of two is now ending up in the divorce courts? And you can be sure in some cities it's worse than that. In fact, I picked up the local paper in one of the large cities of America, and I found out that they had more applications for divorce than they had for marriage in that city during that particular year. Now, how do we account for this unstable streak that seems to carry over into the very foundations of our society, the home itself? Again, the basic weakness seems to be that unholy emphasis upon feeling instead of principle. Selfishness undoubtedly lies at the root of most marital rifts. You see, friends, love is a heavenly principle. Some people think it's just a feeling, but it's really a divine principle. And it has been supplanted by a romantic sentimentality which invariably fades when those stern realities of daily living begin to appear. And then, with no changeless standard to give balance, the impulsive emotions lead husbands and wives down that rocky path of separation and divorce. In order to bury the misery brought on by divorce and kindred other problems of the perverted emotions, the average American consumed 48 gallons of alcohol last year. He also spent 4 times more money for liquor and tobacco than for all his charitable and religious contributions combined. I say, what a sad commentary on the state of morals in this country whose Christian image has been so greatly marred. Where do you think we're headed, friends? What can be the outcome of such a tide of indulgence? I believe Jesus gave the only answer to that question in Matthew 24. He says, "So likewise ye, when ye shall see all these things, know that it is near, even at the door." Why, friends, all of these terrible things that are happening in society concerning the home, the breakdown of morals, is merely telling us that the coming of our Lord is very near at hand, even at the door. There's not much time to get ready. So we had better start preparing now for that great moment, that mighty event. And now, this is Joe Cruz saying goodbye for today.